Tuesday, March 20th, 2007, Upon Further Review, episode number 36. You know, in the Jewish tradition, the Torah commands you to love, respect, and protect the stranger 36 times, and we'd like to thank you for loving, respecting, and protecting us for 36 episodes. Not that we want you to stop here. I mean, if you could just keep doing that, you know, just take it episode by episode, we'll let you know when to stop. How about never? What do you say? Okay, Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we want to welcome everybody to episode number 36. We've got a couple things that we wanted to mention very briefly. First of all, Charles had written us from Mostly News and said that he had a chance to listen to his review and thanked us for that. That's good. And wanted to point out that, and again, we continue to get comments on the American Idol show. We clearly have touched a nerve, good and bad here. But he says that his wife hates VoteForTheWorst.com because she thinks it penalizes the better singers who get the boot instead of the worst one. You know, the only argument I'd make to that is that since I don't think there are better singers on the show, I don't really care who gets the boot.
I don't know. Greg and I watched, because we keep getting so many reactions, we watched a little bit of tonight's episode of American Idol, and I don't, Greg doesn't have to admit this, but I do have to admit that they seemed a lot more confident and performed better.
Yeah.
So I could actually see their potential, while the episode that we saw, which I guess was their first time on stage, they all really were awful. But tonight, you know, a lot of them did show their potential.
They were
while
only
two
awful,
or three
awful.
Were absolutely awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I don't think I mentioned in the American Idol thing that he, read the rest of this email, he reminded me of.
Yeah, what Charles said was that he doesn't really care either way about who gets the boot. He just likes listening to the music, and the show has introduced his kids to some great music. In fact, this weekend, the kids had asked him to download a bunch of Diana Ross songs, and they spent the weekend singing Ain't No Mountain High Enough over and over again. Now,
and this
I'm
is
not
one
sure
of the
if
things...
that is worth, you know, if you really want your kids singing Ain't No,
no
Mountain High Enough.
No, but this is one of the things that we've brought up in other... when we were talking about other seasons of American Idol, and that I do think it has acted as a way to bring back some music that I think does deserve to get some attention. You know, some weeks they do themes. Like, for instance, this week's theme is British Invasion from the 60s. And you get to hear some music that I think a lot of people nowadays... and either never heard, or kids nowadays never heard, or maybe had forgotten. And I think that it does bring some of those artists and music back into the forefront a little bit.
I think that's true.
Maybe even if it's like for 15 seconds of fame, I think it is something.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is that I really wish if they were going to hear it that they'd be hearing it sung well as opposed to sung by these people.
Okay, great.
But, but anyway, so we want to thank Charles for his contribution about that. And then we also got something from a friend of Clea's who said that, can we say the name? I guess we can, right? Clea's friend Devo have watched the first season of American Idol on and off. They said it was sort of a guilty pleasure, but she said it was entertaining for a bit. And she commented that one thing I hadn't thought of, which is how much money the voting must make, because it costs money to vote. You know, you text, message, or you call, and it costs a certain amount of money.
The
I don't
call
know
if it's doesn't like, cost any money.
Well, some, well but I, text messaging does.
I
then.
Presume
it must
the
be
text,
the text message
does.
And a lot of people actually do that, apparently, so there's a lot of like money that's getting made off of that. And she also commented that there are other versions of Idol, which Bernadette had pointed out about, too.
But I would
there's
think
like
if
Indian
you have,
Idol and Australian Idol.
Oh, yeah,
Idol
there's lots and, of different kinds yeah, of yeah. Idol. Just as like there's lots of different kinds of, you know, America's Next Top Model kind of thing. Just like everyone has 50 million different versions.
But I think that there's the money aspect of it, I guess, is something which was interesting to me.
I mean, the endorsements and the... And
well, that's,
the
yeah.
And they do... There's a lot of commercialization that happens.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we want to thank everyone who got into the American Idol show. We're glad that people liked it. And also, we should say that it's possible. We don't know. We don't have this confirmed yet for sure. But it's possible that we may have a special guest on in a week or two, someone who was responsible for the programming of, is a major sort of force behind the programming of Diablo, and also is programming a new game called Hellgate London, which Clea and I talked about a few months ago. And so we're hoping to have him on for a small little mini interview in a couple weeks. I hope we can get him because that would be cool. But that's sort of a potential coming attraction. And whether it happens, you'll just have to stay tuned in to find out.
Yep.
So for this week, we have three things on the docket as usual. We're going to start out by responding to a review request that we got from a new fan of ours who actually found us from Ask a Ninja. I posted something saying we reviewed it, and he said, oh, I saw you. And, you know, I think that you guys should review... His email is, this guy's name is Alui, I believe. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Alui. Please let me know if I'm not. And he says he's a freshman at Michigan State. I'm sorry that your team lost this past weekend, but they had a good matchup against UNC. And he's a large hip-hop fan. So he wanted to know if we could review rap in particular. I mean, mainstream rap. So we're going to be reviewing that, reviewing mainstream rap. Then when we're done with that, we're going to move on to talk about Eddie Izzard. And Clea, in particular, is a big fan of Eddie Izzard, the actor and comedian. I like some of the stuff that he does as well, so Clea's going to talk about him.
And I just thought it would be good timing because he's going to be coming out in a new, I guess, it's, would you call it a sitcom?
It's hard to say, I guess so. It's
kind of
hard
to say. With Minnie Driver?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we thought it'd be worth talking about him so people that might say, oh, well, there's Minnie Driver and who's this other guy? We'd like to tell you who this other guy is. He's actually quite a famous celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we'll talk about Eddie Izzard. And then we're going to conclude by talking about a podcast I've been actually wanting to look at and review for a while, which is the One for the Thumb podcast. Now, this is a Steelers podcast. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers football fan, which I may have mentioned before on the show. But I kind of, you know, in the process of talking about this, we'll talk about the website where you can find a lot of these podcasts, which is mm-hmm. called mysportsradio.com, and we'll talk a little bit about the details about that.
Okay.
Hey, yo, I got a copy of Commodore 64, man. Take it back to 85.
I hope that you listen.
You know,
can you uplift me, Lord?
Circle back then. First touch that digital interface, the interface. Met a new person.
Hey yo, I hope that you're
Commodore 64 flow, pushing tapes of Sodom Gomorrah on your block with Jesus selling watches.
The home and back.
I traveled the sands to know if facts owned. I'm out of but only half clone passport. This is the last short, like midgets finishing gym class. Suspicion is dim, this isn't what life's been past. The office, speak him, I met preach Moses, fasted off a drafted karma. Like Tibetan beer, yeast infection, Mother Earth's beast inception. What's my brother's worth the least? His weapons resilient, his long pavilion. Wrong when we started feeding arms to children. Stars and buildings, beautiful concrete and all. Living off an unusual palm reed. Nine names the truth. It's a calm feed, but I'm vomiting conditions, anemic traditions, relieving envisioned strategic guidance to reach side of the Mars, to believe in God or atoms.
I hope that
yo,
you listen.
Uplift me, Lord, Commodore 64 music tones.
I hope that you listen.
Uplift me, Lord, Commodore 64 through these bones.
I hope that you listen.
Uplift me, Lord, Commodore 64. We pushing tapes and shifting boards.
Just hit record.
What is this for? On Earth dying with a shifting goal.
All right, so let's start.
So
with
on rap. To not a small topic, but we've handled Martin Luther King. I think we can handle rap. We've handled
right.
the war on terror and drugs and everything. I think we can handle rap. But
we can handle rap. Not that that's more important than, I mean, you know, rap we know is big deal, but
right.
You know.
No, I wasn't.
Not as
no, I chose. I didn't compare it to like when we, you know, reviewed
fountain drinks,
or
which was compelling. I mean,
or you know, a board game. I compared it to Martin Luther King and the
this
war
is
on
bigger
drugs.
Than Munchkin.
Greg.
It's bigger than Munchkin.
I thought that was a fairly fair comparison.
I think that's reasonable. Okay, so what do you want to? You have thought about rap?
Well, do you want to start by getting out our biases first?
What are they? I want to start finding out what
oh,
they are.
Come on.
Here's the way that it works. There was a time when I didn't like almost any rap. And
okay.
then since we reviewed the In Over Your Head podcast, mm-hmm. Julian's podcast, I've actually found there's a lot more rap that I like because
okay.
it's a lot. It's basically any rap that's in the mainstream I tend to not like. 90% of the rap that is out of the mainstream, or I should say 90% of the rap that's in the mainstream I don't care for. Anything that's out of the mainstream, though, is much more likable because it doesn't involve the same over and over, the bling and the you sucker MCs and the I'm so much better than you and the girls and the misogyny. And that I'm not a big fan of. And so I have to say that a lot of mainstream rap I don't care for because I can't stand the content. I think it's the same stuff over and over again. But I would make the same argument, honestly, about a lot of top 40 music. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not specific to rap.
Right.
Rap that's outside of the mainstream, though, I do care for. And in fact, I'm even going to be hopefully playing one of those sort of underground rap songs for the show. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of where I stand on that. I don't mind, you know, a lot of good rap I really enjoy. It's just I think there's a lot of rap that isn't good. And, you know, so picking and choosing is important.
Right. And he asked us to review mainstream rap.
Yeah. I mean,
so I think that
yeah.
we do need to make a distinction. And that's why I mentioned that.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the main... I mean, who would you label as a sort of mainstream rap artist? Like, you know,
Jay-Z.
Like, is Nelly rap or is Nelly more sort of hip-hoppy? Nelly's not rap. I guess. See, I don't even know if Jay-Z's rap. Is he? I guess he's rap,
yeah.
Theoretically.
So, I mean, how would you define rap?
Well,
I don't know, Greg. Let's go to the rap dictionary.
I feel like there should be a little sound. Actually, it should be for rap. So you can find this at rapdict.org. That's rapdict.org, which looks very much like Wikipedia,
yeah,
which is disturbing, but apparently it's not Wikipedia. So,
although the rap dictionary went wiki, wiki, wiki.
Yeah, that's disturbing. And they've got a list
they say
of
on the thing.
All the different artists. They've got like how many different... Okay, there's Be True, Be Legit, Be Mac, Be Real, Be Czar, B-R-O, the R? Brother question.
Go to J and see all the, like, the J.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to take frickin' forever. My gosh.
I know. Well, there's D. Now we're
H. I presume it's not the same rigid...
Here we go.
I presume it's not the same rigid thing that you talked about with Wikipedia, Greg, where it's really hard to get on, because there's a lot of artists here.
There's a rapper called Jelly Bean. Jelly Bean. Look, I can understand Jinx de Juvie. I can understand that. I know about Johnny Blaze.
It's songs like that where... But, is there a Johnny Cash?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about him, and I've heard about Johnny Blaze, which
is... Okay. Well, I mean, it's names like that where they always have, like, that one song where they get to say, I'm Jelly Bean, and then it's really cool, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
And look, they don't have Jay-Z there in the rap thing. See?
Hmm.
No Jay-Z. But I guess the point that we're making is, I think there's sort of a... There's a kind of classic rap, which was mm-hmm. the old... Like, when I first thought about rap, I was thinking about old school, like, Run DMC. And then later on, like, Ice-T and Ice Cube and that kind of stuff. Almost some of the gangster rap was what I used to think about. And
right.
Now it's gotten a lot sort of more mainstream, where you have, like, again, examples like Nelly I was using before, or Jay-Z a little bit. But a lot of the... You know, my own students tell me that the sort of cool rappers, the ones they think of as being legit rappers, are people like Immortal Technique. That's their favorite. They love Immortal Technique. And Nas, they think, is pretty good, and stuff like that. That
they have
to be
Will
more
Smith here,
like,
Greg.
They have Will Smith.
So why would they have Will Smith and not Jay-Z?
Maybe because Jay-Z is more of a producer than a performer. I don't know. I mean, he just, or maybe they just are sick of him. I don't know. They even have Tone Loc. Yeah, Tone Loc. That's awesome.
All they have though is the name. You click on it, it just that's it.
It just has it. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well. How do we want to tackle this, though? I mean, I guess the concept is that what makes something mainstream is if it's played on a lot of mainstream radios.
Yep.
And for the most part, yes, when you are dealing with mainstream, you're dealing with things that aren't as harsh topics. Although you did, you know, in the past, when rap first came on the scene, they were dealing with some pretty heavy topics.
That's what a lot of the underground rappers say has happened to rap music. It always used to be something which was countercultural, and
right.
Now it's kind of gotten flown into the mainstream. Like, Kanye West is another one I was thinking about. I mean,
right.
Kanye West got to be a rapper, but Kanye West is not talking about, I mean,
well,
you know.
But another thing that I want to point out, too, is that quite often rappers will have mainstream songs that are on the radio. But it's not until you actually get their CD do you listen to all the other songs that are on their CD, where they may be actually addressing those topics. Do they have Wyclef?
I'm sure they do. They have Kanye West.
They have Kanye West.
Do they have Kid Rock, which is a little... Okay, good.
No.
That's good. Well, I've heard some people refer to Kid Rock as rap. I'm like, no. Kid Rock,
what,
not...
Because he had like one song where he kind of rapped?
He's like, I'm the real McCoy. They probably think Limp Bizkit would fit in that category, too.
I wonder if they have Limp Bizkit.
They might. All right, I'll go to that. Who did you want me to look at?
Wyclef,
okay.
I mean, that's... That's one thing I think that is an important distinction to make, is that sometimes...
No, see, they haven't added him yet. You can't...
You can't say Wyclef is not
Wyclef
a rapper.
Wyclef is clearly a rapper. Yeah.
So anyway.
He's more a rapper than Thug Life. Yeah.
I don't know.
Or Sugar Free.
Hey, we don't know these
Sticky
people,
Sticky Fingers.
I think we should see if we can add ourselves...
Snoop Dogg, yeah, okay.
See if we can add ourselves
as I'm not
going to
add
rapper.
Us as rappers.
Let's see what the categories are.
A pod
Maybe
further
we
review.
Can...
Chukka chukka, if you like us, if you think we can rap, then we watch. Then any of y'all in the hood, any y'all in the hood,
we'll be UFR.
We'll
man.
Be UFR. What? Say it.
Oh my god!
Wow.
So anyway, so wrapping up from the other side of Greg, I quite often will like mainstream rap, but that's because I'll like pretty much any song if I like the melody and the rhythm.
Even the misogynist lyrics, though? The ones who are like, I want to see you get your booty down and all this, you know, stuff. You're okay with that?
Yes. It's getting hot in here.
So hot. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And she'll sing through these songs like, you know, yo, girl, you not a, got it going on. Take the clothes off. You're like, what? Clea's like, you know, I'm a feminist, but when I listen to rap, it's getting hot in here. It's like, I mean, so.
Greg, I'm not saying she's a gold digger. No, but, you know, I mean, there's
go
ahead, also
girl,
a certain.
Go ahead, go down.
There's also a point you have to realize that also some of the roots of rap, and it's not just right. Fight the Power. It's also a lot of those Afro-Caribbean beats that were based in dance. It was music that was intertwined with dancing and movement. Yeah. And I'm a dancer, and so I think there's a lot of that aspect that yes, I will kind of go along with the words they're saying because of the underlying rhythm and melody.
See,
it just makes
you
makes me want to move. So I think that's an important distinction to make as well.
I think that's fair. Well, look, and I've told my students this as well. The best rap is absolutely poetry. I think when Eminem, even though Eminem's a mainstream rap artist, when Eminem's at his best, I think he's got a lot of talent. I don't, you know, I'm not always 100% down with the message of the songs, but I think that he has a tremendous amount of talent. And I think that people who deny that, and especially people at academics, which is obviously one of the fields that I'm involved in, who are just like, oh, this is garbage. It's not garbage. This is extraordinarily complex stuff. Mm-hmm. My argument is when you have people who are sampling, when you have people who are talking about the same thing, which is how many rappers start out with like, yo, you sucker MC, can't step to the mic because I'm the best. Okay, is every rapper better than every other sucker MC? That stuff I'd like to see less of. And the underground hip hop is more focused on political things and stuff like that and less on the bling and the gangsters.
I do have to make a note, though. I think just as much as people might say that country western music is all about, oh, you know, my dog died and my woman left me and all I like is beer. I think that country western music.
Those are the top three albums of the last 3 years,
right,
by the way.
I think country western music can be more broad than that, okay? Bringing back this Johnny Cash. But I think that there are some stereotypical songs that country western people sing. And I think the same can be said of rap. I think rap can be very broad, just as broad as the English language, the French, any language. But yeah, there are some stereotypical rap themes that a lot of rappers do. And I think I don't think it's limited the form completely.
Okay.
But yeah, what I do have to say, though, of where you were going with the sampling is very important. When Coolio, remember Coolio came out with the song Gangsta's Paradise?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Weird Al Yankovic did a joking version of it.
Mm-hmm. Which was Amish Paradise. Which
right. And Weird Al Yankovic, they always get the production companies go ahead and the artists go ahead before they do it. And the big controversy was Coolio said, you never got my permission and I don't appreciate this. And this is a serious song and you made it ridiculous. And and how dare you steal this? Putting all that aside, Coolio totally took that song sample for like the whole, like there's no original melody in that song.
Right.
And he kept going off on this, which is ridiculous in and of itself because you can respect the original piece and still have fun. You know?
And plus, let's be honest, it's not like this is, you know, the greatest song ever told. Okay. I mean, like it's okay, but it's not, you know,
right.
It doesn't redefine songs in the 20th century either.
Right. The point that I was trying to make is that he totally took the sample straight from Stevie Wonder song.
Right, that Pastime Paradise song.
Pastime Paradise.
Which we didn't even realize. Remember, we actually, because I had actually forgotten that until you mentioned it. And I remember we were listening to something or we were, and all of a sudden we're like, oh my God.
And you might even think like, well, of course, he's going to sample the music, and then he makes new lyrics. No, there's even like lyrics that he's taking
that are similar.
He's taking it's like he just took the song and made it slightly different, made it Gangster Paradise.
And since he, in a lot of cases, as people will know out there, rap producers are as important as the rap singers, he may not even have done the original beat. You know, like the rap producer may have done the beat. And then for him to sit around and be like, oh, how could you make fun of it? Shut up. And that's the one thing I don't like about sort of the quote unquote mainstream rap, again, as opposed to underground rap. I don't like the gangster attitude, because I feel like part of the gangster attitude is that we're so much better than anyone else, whoever's been out there, and yet it's two-faced, because number one, they're stealing half of their stuff from previous artists who aren't getting the credit for it. Stevie Wonder, James Brown, Ray Charles, the list goes on. And then two,
most of Will Smith's stuff is sampled from Stevie Wonder.
And then two, the second part of it that I don't like is the fact that they talk about being from the hood and all this stuff when they're walking around in these million-dollar mansions and everything else and stepping up into the game and all this
stuff. concentrators, they used to be in the hood, I guess.
Well, but I mean, yeah, but then they act like, you know, but I'm still back where my, you know, you're not back where your peoples are. And, you know, you're being told what to do by these rich white, you know, rap producers who, you know, want, or, you know, I shouldn't say rap producers, but rich white company owners who are telling you to get this stuff. You know, the main consumer of rap now is actually a middle to upper middle class white teenager. That's the typical rap artist audience now, which makes this whole thing kind of interesting, I think.
But this, there is a huge phenomenon that a lot of African-American leaders in the community rally around this this movement that was driven a lot by rap music to consumerism. And the whole concept that you want that this particular brand of jeans, you want to you have to have Timberlands, and then you have to have this type of shirt and that type of jacket and this gold watch. The focus on the material and totally disregarding the way of life or the need to get there or maybe or how you can attain that in real life.
That's, well, because they're looking at bling instead
they're looking
of like
at bling
things,
instead of maybe saving money and going to college
for the
whatever.
For the rappers,
right. But not only that, but it's created a huge stigma of, you know, oh, well, they're just all about this and they don't really care about anything else.
Right.
You know, people, I think if you're listening, you know I'm a social worker and I work for the New York City Welfare Agency. I've had so many people have bias against, oh, I've seen plenty of people, you know, with food stamps, but they got that $100 pair of jeans. And people thinking that people abuse the system when they don't necessarily really understand the situation. So I just, it's a, just more ammunition of people misunderstanding what's really going on that that causes some frustration on my part.
Yeah, well, you know, what I want to throw out to our listeners actually is, I mean, we're going to give this a rating in a second, but I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think that on balance, you know, Nas said that hip hop is dead. That was his famous comment. And, you know, he meant hip hop and rap both being dead. So my question would be, does rap, you know, which is supposed to be counterculture and everything, does it have a valuable place, or do you think that rap has become too sort of, has it become too mainstream? Has it become too consumerist? Has it become too buried in the mainstream? That's something I'd like to ask our listeners to comment upon, because I don't think that it has been. I think I've heard enough interesting new stuff coming out that I think that music is generally more powerful than consumer forces that try to overcome it, or corporate forces that overcome it, I should say. But I don't, you know, but having said that, there is possibly a social cost to it. Or is it something which has done more harm than good now? That would be my question.
Wow, that's quite a topic for our reports.
I don't think so. I think it has done more good than harm in the aggregate, but I just want to throw it out there.
All right.
What do you want to rate this?
This is mainstream rap.
Mainstream rap, right? So we're leaving underground hip-hop rap out of there, I guess I'd say.
Six?
Yeah, I'd say a six. I think that's fine. I think a six is fine. And obviously, there's variations there. The sort of Gangster's Paradise Arrogance, that's more in the four range. You know, Eminem at his best, that's more in the 7-8 range, you know? You know, some of the better Run DMC stuff. That's
okay.
You know, yeah. So.
All right.
All right. Six sounds good.
I think I'm very proud of us that we made it through this whole discussion of mainstream rap without you going into your. It's not Jump that you usually know. You know all the lyrics to. It is
Jump Around.
Greg
pack
knows
it up,
all
pack
of
it in. Let me begin packing the wheeze. I don't need. That's a sin. It's because it's got the greatest line in all of recorded music, which is...
For Greg, who is a former tennis player. Go. Yeah,
which is, I'll serve your... like John McEnroe. If your girl steps up, I'm smacking the... word to your moms. I came to drop bombs. I got more rhymes than the Bible's got psalms. And you know, Clea, just like the prodigal son, I've returned. Oh, all right. Gosh. I could go on all day.
Moving on.
On we go. So Eddie Izzard is next on the docket. And Clea, why don't you take this?
Oh, gosh. So Eddie Izzard is a comic, and you can find his website at www.eddieizzard.com, EddieIzzard.com.
Awesome, using the original version, the meaning of the word awesome, yeah? With, not the new one, which is sort of the socks and hot dogs. Hey, red and yellow, awesome. You got red and yellow socks? They're awesome, you know. And but if they were, you'd be. I saw an advert for awesome hot dogs, only $2.99. If they were awesome, you'd be going, I cannot breathe for the way the sausage is held by the bun. It is speaking to me. It is saying, we are lips and thighs of a donkey. Please eat us, but do not think that we are lips when you eat us, otherwise you'll throw up. Which is true. It's awesome. And America needs the old version of awesome, because you're the only ones going to space. You've got a bit of cash, and you go up there, and you need awesome, because you're going to be going to the next sun to us,
And the president's going to realize anything. Can you tell me, astronaut? Tell me what it's like. It's awesome, sir. What, like a hot dog?
And he's an actor, too, and getting more into the acting, I think, a little bit as he gets older. You can find most of his DVDs. He's done a number of comedy DVDs. But before you enter in the little Google search and you pull him up and you go, what the heck? Eddie Izzard is a transvestite, which most people know as crossdresser. He does dress and drag. And just a little bit of education, that means he's heterosexual. He loves the ladies, but he also likes to dress with makeup and maybe a little bit more female clothing. He would probably say he just dresses with style. So that's him. But specifically about his comedy is in his acting is what we want to talk about. But I wanted to put that out there so you don't get surprised when you go on his website and you see him with eye makeup and red nails. He does comedy both in English and in French. I believe he's originally from England. I don't know what part of England. If you Netflix, just enter in Eddie Izzard and you'll find numerous DVDs. I think that his most popular one, or at least most well-known in America, is Dressed to Kill. He's been in quite a few movies. And then he's also done different TV shows. I think this sitcom will be his first, I think, real leap into popular American culture, because I think most Americans haven't seen him except for those people that have seen his stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. And so if you're wondering around the sitcom is The Riches, which is going to be starting soon. It's going to be on Monday nights at 10 on Fox.
On FX.
Oh, sorry, FX.
That's one of their channels, but it's like,
whatever.
You know, yeah.
It's still the devil. So www.fxnetworks.com/shows/originals/The Riches.
Mm-hmm.
T-H-E-R-I-C-H-E-S. Yep. So anyway, the concept of the sitcom seems semi-interesting, but also semi-
I can't tell whether it's going to be good or not. I don't know.
It's this family that's going to be taking over these other families' identities so they can become rich people. And we watch a little preview of it and like, oh, well, you know, it's the American dream. You know, people seeing what they want and taking it. I'm like, okay. I mean, I guess I see what you're trying. The point you're trying to make.
Not quite.
But I mean, you do have some good actors there, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Also, some of you might have seen Eddie Izzard if you saw Super Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, really?
He was the evil Professor Bedlam or whatever. He was in that. So you might have seen him in that as well.
He was also in this is not likely for anybody to have seen unless you study Renaissance drama, but there was a play called The Revenger's Tragedy, which I teach to my Revenge Tragedy class, and Eddie Izzard was in the movie version of that, along with another guy whose name I can't remember now, who is relatively well-known, and also Derek Jacobi was in that, who's pretty famous.
Do you remember whether or not you thought he was a good actor?
Yeah, no, I liked it. No, I like Eddie Izzard. I've always thought that Eddie Izzard is smart and I think is capable of doing the job. See, the thing is, though, in that movie, like, they said it in a very modern tone, so everybody there is pierced and wearing women's clothing anyway, so it's like gee, Eddie, be yourself, you know, like, you just go out and do that. So but yeah, I thought
I know, but
good
now
job.
He has such a clean cut, you know, average
for
American
this, I know,
look, which
I know.
Is quite funny.
Even the accent, isn't he got sort of a semi-southern
although
American
in
accent?
A Super Ex-Girlfriend, you could hear his accent coming through every once in a while, but he a lot of his acting is when he in American movies, he plays with an American accent. And even in the interviews, he sounds like he's talking an American accent, while Minnie Driver goes straight back into her accent.
Straight up British, yeah.
But anyway, so as a comedian, he's quite brilliant, creative, good interplay with the audience, very personable, and makes you really love him.
Not particularly dirty, right? I mean, like, not really. I mean,
no.
I don't, he may have some language there, but that's not the focus of it.
No,
right?
It's not the focus. Yeah. It very much is just kind of talking about life and his quirky take on it. He actually has a MySpace page as well, and is my friend.
Yes, Clea
MySpace.
Also has a MySpace page. By the way, Clea, you're a new fabulous upcoming comedian, but Clea is not going to become a transvestite.
He's one of my famous friends, him and Stephen Wright and Lewis Black.
And let me tell you, get those three guys in a room. Eddie Izzard, Stephen Wright, and Lewis Black. Lewis Black screams.
I'm still waiting on Bill Cosby. I've been waiting for like a month.
Don't you understand? I cannot join my space
don't
page.
Try. What the heck? That was a really bad impression of Bill
Cosby. That
was
awesome. I rule.
Anyway, Eddie Izzard, you just have to go and see him. He's Netflix him and watch all of his comedy. He's great.
Yep, good guy, funny stuff. Yes. Rating,
and he has so many jokes that are great for quotables. He has lots of quotables.
I had to deal with this for about 2 years. Where Clea and a friend of mine knew it, and they were always like nodding at each other, like, "Ha ha, inside joke, isn't that funny?"
Anyway.
I was like, "Yeah,
okay."
Not
so a rating,
yeah,
8.
Okay. I'd agree with that. I'd say it seems, from what I've seen of him, I'd say that he's an 8. That's okay. Fair enough. So 8 for Eddie Izzard. Okay, last thing on the docket for tonight in our podcast segment is One for the Thumb. This is the Steelers podcast that's hosted by a guy named Lance Williams. You can find it at mysportsradio.com. And if you go to mysportsradio.com/shows, mysportsradio.com/shows, you'll be able to find it here. I want to break this down sort of in two ways. Number one, the Steelers one, which I've listened to a lot. Basically, each one runs about 20 minutes or so, and during the off season he releases one once a week, and during the regular season he releases one twice a week, on Tuesday to sort of review the game that just happened, and then Thursday to preview the game that's to come, basically. Mm-hmm. And I started listening to him actually the season that the Steelers won the Super Bowl last season, so it was interesting sort of listening to them go through that. Lance is a pretty good guy. I mean, he's a nice guy. He really knows his stuff. He really knows the Steelers, and I've actually heard him do, he did an interview with Max Starks, who's one of the players on the Steelers, and I was really impressed with how intelligent Max Starks was, and how, you know, Lance did a really good job at sort of leading him through that interview. But most of the time, he'll just be doing analysis. He'll talk about news that happened with the team. He'll bring things up about different, subjects of the salary cap and stuff like that. And so it's pretty good. And he does a particularly good job. He has a couple of other shows. One's on boxing, I think, and something else as well. It's pretty well produced. It has transitions. There's music that leads into and out of each of the segments. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he sort of, you know, tells everyone, signs off, and then what they've started doing, which I'm not a big fan of, is the last 10 minutes of each show, they actually add in the very best of My Sports Radio, and they like promo their other shows. So you basically download a 30-minute show and 20 minutes of it is the show, which is irritating. So I don't know, but they're just trying to promo their other shows. The rest of the site is very up and down. One of the shows is a kid named Alex Reimer that you may have actually seen possibly on David Letterman. This is a kid who, when he was, I think, like 11 or 12, was doing podcasting for the Red Sox, and so he would do a Red Sox podcast, and was like, oh, he's so fabulous. No, he's not fabulous. He's fake and annoying. His show is not good. I've tried to listen. It's now called Sox Without a Curse. Sorry. He certainly knows baseball, and he knows his stuff, but I find him very irritating. So a lot of the shows on there, some of the shows are good, some of the shows are irritating, some of the shows are informative. They have a thing on poker, so they have this whole big podcast on poker and stuff like that. And the website also has a very active forum community. There's a board thing where you can post all this stuff, and so that's kind of neat as well. So, you know, it's one of those things that really was one of the things when I first started getting into doing some of this podcast stuff that was interesting, because they were able to talk about sports in a way that I wouldn't, you know, have thought would have been possible otherwise, where mm-hmm. it's a little bit more extended treatment. And they have, I think, podcasts for a lot of teams. They have one for the Colts, and they have one for, you know, baseball and football and hockey and all that stuff. But the Steelers one is really one of the biggest ones, and it brings in fans from, you know, all across the world to contribute to it. So
right. So
I think it's pretty good, and they give you a chance to call in, like we have a chance to call into our number. Don't forget our phone number that you can call into and things like that. So it's pretty good in that regard, and I think they do a good job. So mysportsradio.com overall, I would be tempted to give probably a 7, because, you know, it brings together some good shows, but there's also some shows that are a little bit lower on the totem pole.
Even with this new 10-minute thing?
Yeah, well, I think that's just sort of bad judgment. I don't think that represents sort of like, I mean, it's all free, right? So it's not like they're making you, the longer you listen, the more you pay or something. It's not
right.
Like that. I just think it's bad judgment. They should go away from it myself. But the One for the Thumb show, I'd be tempted to give that an 8. I'd put that in the Eddie Izzard category. I think there's a lot of knowledge that's coming through there, and I think that's positive. I think, yeah, I don't have a lot of constructive criticism for Lance, except that I don't like the 10 minutes at the end of it. And sometimes it would be nice to have, you know, it is a Steelers focus, but there's so much promoing going on. You know, don't forget to bang the boards and call the line and do the thing and da-da. You're like, all right, get on to the show. But the show itself is pretty good. So I'd be tempted to say 8 for One for the Thumb, and, you know, a 7 or a 6. Maybe say a 6, I guess, for mysportsradio.com for the overall site, and then an 8 for One for the Thumb.
All right.
Say. All right, so that is going to do it for us for this week. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Thanks to those who made the review request. We appreciate that very much. We hope that we managed to succeed in providing you a little bit of, you know, rap commentary from here in the hood. We do live in the Bronx, so it'll all fit.
Oh, yeah. Yo!
Represent.
Red Rock.
And we hope you guys had a good time. We will check you guys out next week. Again, please make sure to submit any review requests you have to us, and we will get to them because that's what we do. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you next week. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!